Cape Talk. Food.
Now, we all know a pinch of salt can hold the key to unlocking the flavor of a dish, even a sweet dish for that matter. But have you ever contemplated using salt as a kind of cooking appliance rather than as a seasoning? I'm talking about the pink slabs of Himalayan rock salt, which you might have seen in specialty stores or perhaps on display at the likes of the Homemakers Expo and other similar events. I confess I was a little skeptical when I first heard about the concept, but then I actually tasted my first steak that had been cooked on a salt slab, and my mind was instantly changed because it was one of the most beautiful, subtly flavored, succulent pieces of meat I've ever eaten. So much so that I am now the owner of my own salt slab. So I was delighted to receive a copy of a new cookbook, which is going to help me make better use of it going forward. And I'm delighted to welcome in studio the author of that book, Liesel Marie, who is one half of the Salty Sisters, as they're called, and also I think an owner of Salt Pure, the business. The book is called Himalayan Salt Cooking. The author Liesel Marie is with us in studio. Great to have you with us, Liesel.
Thank you so much for having me, and hello, Cape Town.
Really looking forward to talking about how we cook with it. Before we get there, though, let's just talk a little bit about salt per se, because immediately I hear people going, salt's bad for you, you can't be cooking on it, let alone with it. It's been around for centuries. In fact, it's been so important to human culture that salt was even used as a form of currency in ancient times.
That is right, and yes, there are definitely many different types of salt on the markets and available today. The most important thing to consider is exactly how processed your salt is. Your body can only accept salt in its natural form. It does not know what to do with processed salt. So the things that they say about salt being bad for you, giving you water retention, giving you high blood pressure, is most of the times your white table salt, which is very highly processed and not in its natural form.
Okay, now the Himalayan rock salt is in a completely different form, and it comes from a completely different source, doesn't it?
Exactly how it is mined. It is not processed in any way except ground down to fine or coarse, which you would see on the shelves, which are in your grinders and your shakers. So it's still completely 84 minerals in there, trace minerals. Your body knows what to do with it on a cellular level, and it does not take 25 times the amount of water for your body to actually get rid of it.
You say it's mined. Where specifically? I assume it's somewhere in the Himalayas, given the name, but where?
It is definitely not mined in the Himalayas.
Okay.
Its original name was actually Punjabi salt, but Nobody could connect with that. The Himalayan salt does not come from the Himalayan mountains. It's actually from the foothills of the Himalayan mountains, which lie in Pakistan. So the origins of the salt is from Pakistan.
Okay, now you said it's mined there, it's brought up and then ground down to whatever form it's in, a salt shaker. What about the actual slabs, these very heavy chunks of salt that you can cook on? Are those just hewn out of the rock as they come out of the mine?
That's exactly right. There's a very big misconception that the salt is actually manufactured into its shapes. We mine them in Salt Pur Pakistan, which is also the holding company in Pakistan. We mine them in the natural form, which are massive chunks of salt. And for example, the cooking slabs are cut with something that looks like a brick cutter. Mm-hmm. And it's got water and the big blade spinning at the same time. And that is how they actually cut these perfect slabs of salt. It is fine if it's got a little crack line through it. Nothing's going to happen to it. So these salt blocks, you can get them in all different sizes, and they are exactly cut like that.
Okay, we're going to talk about how you cook with them in just a moment. Okay, you've spoken about the fact that this is a very different kind of salt than the one that pours out of the typical table salt that comes from evaporated seawater. Completely different source of it. You mentioned the associations that many people have with too much salt, with high blood pressure, with water retention. Let's talk about some of the good health processes that require salt, because there are lots of processes in our body where it is essential.
No, definitely. Your body needs salt on a cellular level to communicate. If you do not give your body minerals, then you will not be able to lead a healthy lifestyle. There are definitely people with health problems like high blood pressure, water retention, or kidney problems that cannot necessarily consume high amounts of salt. The problem comes in is where they use these salts in canned foods and processed foods, cold meats, cold cuts, where we get an overdose of sodium. I would definitely say Himalayan salt can be used for many different things. You can use it as an alternative to a Dettol or a Savlon that you would use on a wound. We do salt baths for infections. You can use it in your sinuses. We even have salt inhalers nowadays where you can use it as a therapy for people with asthma, COPD, or any breathing problems. And they've even gone to the extent in Pakistan to build hospital rooms in the caves that they've mined the salt in to actually assist, as it is a naturally antibacterial, antimicrobial environment, is extremely safe, and then it also helps with the breathing problems for people.
That is fascinating to hear. Okay, how did you discover the salt? I mean, how do you come to be involved in this process? You're clearly not from Pakistan yourself.
I'm clearly not.
So how did you become involved in this story?
Well, firstly, my business partner in Johannesburg, the owner of Salt Per Johannesburg, is from Pakistan. And that is also where our importing and manufacturing business is. So we are, so to say, also wholesalers. Mm-hmm. I do own Salt Per Cape Town. And after we expanded so rapidly in Johannesburg, although he's been in the business for 12 years, I was his biggest customer. He suggested to me to open up Salt Per Johannesburg. Now, my background is actually from H2O International Water Purification, where we stock the salt in the shops as an alternative for people that insist on using reverse osmosis water. Now, reverse osmosis water is in such a way dead water. It doesn't actually contain the natural mineral content.
You've got to put it back in again.
Exactly. Yeah. So some people do prefer to buy RO water, which is not we would supply KDF water, treated water in H2O, but we'd started supplying the people with little packets of salt to take as an added mineral with their water. I started looking at it, and after returning from the United States, where I actually worked as a chef, I started doing a little bit more research into the salt. I found a salt block. I was absolutely blown away. At that point is when I met my business partner, Salman. I combined my cooking skills with the salt skills. And this book that you're looking at today was supposed to be a 5-page brochure.
It is instead 130-plus pages, packed full of restaurants. And I think listeners will be amazed at the variety that it's possible to make on a salt slab. We're going to have a conversation with Liesl about how you use them in cooking, what can be prepared on them, how you look after them and clean them, etc. Just to say that if you listening have a question, or perhaps you too are already playing around with the concept of cooking on a slab of Himalayan rock salt, and you want to tell us what you've prepared, how you've enjoyed it, what challenges you faced, give us a call on 021-446-0567. Send an SMS to 31567 or leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. Now, how does it actually work? You get this massive block of salt and you do what with it, Liesl?
Before you start, you need to decide what you're going to use this block for. If you plan to cook with this salt block, you're going to have to prepare it in the correct way. Now, the most important thing to remember before you start cooking is treat the salt block with extreme care when heating it the first time.
Okay.
The trick here is to go slow. You're going to start at a low heat for 15 minutes and gradually work your way up to a higher temperature another 15 minutes, eventually ending on high. Listen to the salt block. Look at the salt block. If you're going to heat it up too fast, it is going to expand because salt is a crystal. It's in a crystal form, and there are possibly little air bubbles inside, air pockets. So you need to give this block its time to expand and to settle. I call it curing a salt block. By all means, do not put an ice-cold salt block in a hot oven. You're going to have an explosion. I've had one before with my trial and errors, and it's not very pleasant.
Okay, thanks for the tip. So cure it by heating it very slowly and gradually. And once you've heated it and it's ready to go, what do you do with it next?
You cool it down.
Okay.
You do not actually cook on it the first time, and that is a very, very good piece of advice that I'm going to give to people is cool it down completely. Give it some time. It's almost like the first time you use a poiki pot to cook in, you need to treat it with some care. You need to heat it up. You need to oil it again. Season the pot. So season your salt block. Cook on it the second or the third time you're heating it. So once you've cooled it down, possibly a day or two later, give it a go. This time you can go slightly faster with the heating process. Before you put a piece of food on that salt block, you're going to test it. I use the water test, where you just take a sprinkle of water, splash it on the salt block. Those water drops need to
touch
the surface, sizzle, roll, and disappear within a few seconds. Then you know you're good to go. Do not oversalt your food by starting to cook on a cold salt block. If it's not at a high heat, you're going to introduce, for example, a steak is wet. You're going to put it on that salt block. It's not going to sizzle and seal the meat, and you're going to have a puddle of salty meat lying there after a few minutes. So I've got two tricks for that. You either make sure the block's hot enough, or you seal your meat on this fire quickly and then transfer it to your salt block to finish
cooking on the salt block. Okay. The time that my first experience with it, the person almost treated it like a fondue bowl. Instead of putting your meat into the jar of boiling oil in a fondue, you cut your slices and laid it onto the salt to cook to your liking. And the lovely thing about it was I was sitting there, I like my meat rare, verging on blue. The person next to me wanted it, no longer speaking any language known to man. Absolutely well done. The two of us could sit there and do it to our own liking at the table. There was a lot of personal choice in it, lots of drama and flair, obviously, the whole concept of it. So you heat the block itself to the point where it's hot enough to cook the food when you place the food on it. Steak is the one thing it's known for. What else can you prepare on the block?
I have so many dishes that I've tried on this block. It's almost difficult to say what else, because pretty much anything you add salt to. If you add salt to it, you can substitute this block into it. For example, salted caramel. That's a beautiful thing. Rather than adding the salt, why not make the caramel? What I do is I take a salt bowl. Yes, there are bowls available. Okay. They're not just slabs. You pack it in the fire, put the coals around it. You heat up that caramel in the salt bowl. It'll naturally pick up the saltiness, which will give you salted caramel. Wow. Then you can just dip your fruit kebabs in there or whatever you can think of. Any, absolutely any dish with salt. And for the steaks, for example, great idea with a medium rare. You can transfer that block after cooking your steaks medium rare. Transfer the block to the table. Put it on a piece of plank. And then everyone can just finish it off to their liking.
To their own liking, yeah. I mean, the recipes in the book are for absolutely anything you can imagine, from braai broekies to vegetable kebabs to fish to poultry to stuffed mushrooms. The thing to emphasize, Liesl, is it's. I think I can imagine there are still people going, isn't the steak just going to taste of salt and nothing else? Far from it. It's a really subtle infusion of flavor that comes. It's not a massive slurping up of salt from that block that's going on.
Himalayan salt is naturally less salty than normal table salt. If you put a little bit of table salt in your mouth and then you put a little bit of Himalayan salt in your mouth afterwards, you will feel that you do not get that cheeks pulling together.
Yes.
Salty taste in your mouth. So it's a very subtle flavor. And you do not even have to use them all heated. I always have a salt block in my freezer. And you can actually use it for the complete opposite side of the scale. If you make a nice chocolate ganache, melt it with a little bit of cream. Take that frozen salt block out of the freezer, put it in front of your guests, and simply smear the chocolate on there in front of them. Or they can make their own and top it off with a little bit of chili, a little bit of chili flakes, a little bit of salt flakes, some chopped strawberries or some chopped mint. Within 30 seconds, that dark chocolate ganache is going to be rock hard. You scrape it off and there we go.
You've made your own chocolate
bark. It's not just cooking. It is so absolutely diverse. And this book is broken up into four sections for you. Of course, it starts off with a braai section because we are South Africans here. Although we've had a lot of interest from Australia and the United States on this book.
Okay.
I might just have to do a little bit of a translation for them.
Into barbecue.
Braai, yeah. Broikies. After the braai section, we've got a cooking on gas section. You can use it directly on your gas hob. You do not have to put it in a pan. But if you want to transfer it onto an electric pan or onto a normal electric surface inside one of those heavy base black pans that you use for steak, you can do that. So there's an electric cooking section. And then, of course, it ends off with the serving section, which involves all the frozen blocks and doing, for example, a seafood carpaccio on it or anything you can imagine.
Right, a few questions coming in from listeners. Johnny asking, I think you've kind of already answered it, but let's just repeat for clarity. Can I use my salt block in my braai coals? The answer is yes.
Oh, yes, definitely you can. Some people like to just lift it a little bit off the braai coals by putting a brick or two on the side. I have had some of our customers coming back to us and saying they have put it directly on the coals. Again, the big thing is here, scrape a few coals to the side. and then add a few more and add a few more, just like a poiky pot, till you get that block to the correct temperature. Do not put an ice cold block straight onto the coals.
Hot fire. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Then HR on the SMS line saying, what I want to know is, I have a Himalayan lamp. Is that salt ground from these big chunks of salt?
That salt lamp of yours, which we also import, that is a solid chunk of rock, exactly mined in that form from the mountains, from the mines. So yes, it is exactly the same salt as these salt blocks are. The salt just comes in different grades. The edible salt goes directly to the plant where it gets ground down. Mm-hmm. These blocks and lamps go to a carving station where they get carved into the shapes.
Okay. A few people asking about iodine content, saying they've heard there is no iodine in Himalayan salt. Is that true?
It is not true. There is a small trace of it. It is just much less than normal salt. Every batch of salt that we get coming through has got a slightly different composition because it's different deposits within the mine. So every batch of salt we get in, we will do a certificate analysis on, and we even get white Himalayan salt and grey Himalayan salt.
So it's not all pink.
It's not all pink, and it's different shades of pink. It's from light pink to orange. It's got slightly different compositions, but where a person would find slightly less in this batch than another one.
Okay. For those who might have joined us late to the conversation, my guest in studio is Liesel Marie, who is the author of Himalayan Salt Cooking, as well as being the owner of the Cape Town branch of Salt Pur, which imports not only the blocks of salt, but various other products, the salt bowls, the salt lamps, as you've just mentioned, beautiful candle holders, the bath salts, etc. Charles asking on the WhatsApp line, what's the best way to reheat the block once you've taken it to the table? It does hold its heat for quite a long time, in my experience, limited as it is of using it. But do you just need to put it back in the oven again, if you want to keep it really hot?
Look, I would say that it can hold its heat amazingly long time, for a very, very long time. So out of experience, I've never really reheated it at the table. But for example, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to start serving food at the Route 44 market.
Yeah.
Now, in that case, I will need to keep my block warm the entire day. I have got two of those long electric plate pans that you just plug into the wall. And once I've paved it with salt blocks, I started on a 1, a 2, gradually work my way up till I find the perfect temperature. And then I will keep the block at that temperature at the table right in front of the clients.
Okay, so you'll use that controllable electrical device. Okay, thank you for that. One of the things I haven't asked is on the SMS line, several people asking whether you need any kind of fat or oil underneath the food before you cook it. That's the whole point, is you don't. You put it straight onto the salt block, correct?
You do not need any oil or lubrication of the block between the heat source and the block. That is very important. We had a situation where somebody went and poured olive oil into their pan and then placed the block on top of that. There was a slight explosion. Ooh. So definitely not recommended. But if you are going to be dealing with something that can get stuck to the block, by all means, yes, put a little bit of butter on there. If you're going to attempt to fry an egg on a salt block, which you can do, I would suggest put a little bit of butter down and put it straight onto that.
I never even thought of that. Okay. Yeah,
you can use a little bit of olive oil as well, but you don't need a lot. So gauge the food. Example, green pepper skin side down, or bourivorce, which is in its own casing. You don't really need anything to lubricate it. But if you're putting something like a braaibroodjie onto a salt block, it's going to get stuck. So you do what you do usually when you take it to the fire, and you just butter the outside of the bread and put it on your salt block.
Okay, thanks for the question there, Charles. I think Bruce has had experience with what not to do in terms of keeping it clean, because his advice on the WhatsApp is, don't wash the salt block in the dishwasher.
Oh,
how do you keep them clean?
Okay, definitely not the dishwasher. What I would
Bruce.
you know where to get a new one. Okay, so what I would suggest is cool the block down completely. I always put my block on its side or lean it against something so that any fatty oil or residue of the food can roll off and not create a salty puddle.
Okay.
The second thing is take a knife or a spatula and scrape as much as possible of the residue off the surface. The final thing is put it again on its side in your sink, run a little bit of water and just wet the block. do not have running water over the block. Just wet the surface. Salt starts to dissolve, so it's going to make a slimy the surface. And you can take either a Goldilocks or any kind of scrubby, or again a knife, and scrape the rest of the food residue off. The good thing here is you're working with a naturally antibacterial, naturally antimicrobial surface. So if there's anything left, for example, meat on that salt block, only thing that's going to happen is going to create some biltong, which is going to be naturally preserved. And next time you cook on it, a little tip is put the cooking surface side towards the fire and then cook on the cleaner side. So any residue will just burn straight off.
So just alternate which side you cook on and which side goes on the heat source, and no problems. Okay. How often do they need to be replaced? I mean, how long would a good salt block last?
Well, if you have a look at the second last page, is a picture of my salt block in the cookbook. This is my much-loved Old Faithful block. And it is, at the time of taking this picture, it was 3 years old.
And still going strong.
It is still going. I'm probably going to have to drop it in my bath soon because it is nearing its end. There are different thickness blocks. This is a 2-inch. If you're going to, for example, work with a 1-inch, which is slightly thinner, it's not going to have such a long lifetime. I'll probably push it to a year. But depends how you treat them.
Before we go to news, we need to tell you where you can buy a salt block. Liesl Marie of Salty Sisters, which is spelled SaltySistas. So how much do they cost, and can we buy them from your website?
You can definitely buy it from the website, which is the same, www.saltysisters.co.za. They're also available at the Route 44 market, where we've been for the past year and a half. They range from about 240 Rand all the way to 650, depending on size.
Liesl, great to have you with us, and all the best for the Salty Sisters. You'll be able to taste it for yourself at Route 44 within the next couple of weeks. Great to meet you.
Fabulous. Thank you so much.